Get out of here.
No, no, Mrs. Stead. Mrs. Georgetta Binks. Mrs. Your humble servant.
That won't be necessary.
Oh, but it is. It is demanded by the gods, it is.
And now, it's time to sit back and enjoy the Two True Freaks Internet Radio Broadcast.
My friend might have been banished. My forgotten. The process of...
...2008. The prequel trilogy is over, and millions of fans are left without Star Wars. Enter a brave group of Jedi, led by Dave Filoni, who brought tales of the Jedi, clone armies, and Mandalorians to Cartoon Network, thus keeping hope alive in the galaxy. Welcome to J-Guys and Jedi!
Hi everyone, welcome to J-Guys and Jedi. I just realized it still says Jedi's on the notes. Because I usually just delete and paste and copy and paste. Anyway, hi guys, that was a terrible opening. Welcome to J-Guys and Jedi, a weekly podcast covering every episode of Star Wars The Clone Wars. And this episode, Jar Jar Binks and C-3PO fight to save Padme from the doom at the hands of the evil Viceroy Newt Gunray. There'll be tons of Jar Jar, which leads to tons of haterade from Hope and tons of loverade from Chris. Hi, Chris.
Loverade?
Loverade. Instead of haterade? Loverade.
I
was trying to make something up.
Yeah. I don't know if the word love is... Well, maybe.
You did more than I did.
I've been down this road before with this episode. I'm ready to defend it. Defend its honor.
When rewatching it again for this, was it a lot better?
No. Because I enjoyed the hell out of it the first time. When this one came out, I'm like, oh, okay, it's this one, yes. And I knew there would probably be some scandal on the show about it because, yeah, I realize that my opinion will probably be in the minority to say it, put it mildly.
I mean, because that leads to, like, good banter and stuff like that.
Well, let's hope so.
But, I mean, I will say I tried really, really hard to find redeeming qualities in this episode. Okay. And so I think I found a few. So I tried my damnedest to, like, get, oh, no, come back notes. Sorry, I accidentally clicked out in notes. But yeah, it was definitely a bit of a chore to watch this one.
A little bit of work for you.
Yeah, just
not
just,
me.
Yeah, sorry. Oh,
it's like floating on a little cloud, happy
the
little
kitty cloud.
Yep.
Whee! And not everybody can see her, but my kitty is in my lap, and she says hi. Hi, everyone.
I was just torturing her with tapes of another cat that I had that sounds like it's in distress, but it was actually just in complete spasmodic mode because it was getting what the hell are they called, pounce
or I guess so,
or something like that. What are those little cat treats? But boy, oh boy, let's just say the cat liked it.
That cat was making like a sound. We should use it at some point in the show as a soundbite.
Yeah, that's why I recorded it, to make it some sort of Star Wars Ben Burtt monster where you slow it down and add a lion roar reverse to it and stuff, and all of a sudden you have a rancor, you know, or something like that.
Well, I'm ready to get started with this episode and hearing your... I'm really interested to see how you defend this episode, so... Because, guys, I messaged Chris, Friday or Saturday, and I was like, there you go, here's the notes for this episode, it was a chore to watch, and he was like, I love this episode, and my exact reaction back to him on Facebook was, are you fucking with me?
Yeah, well, it was also one of those things where there was a little pause where you're thinking about it, and then I see bloop, it's like, no, I am not fucking with you.
So I'm actually serious. Really excited to see, hear what you have to say.
Dead serious.
All right, so. ahem. Bombad Jedi is the 8th episode of Star Wars The Clone Wars, premiering on November 21st, 2008. It was written by Kevin Rubio, who, not to get confused with Rubio, that's campaigning right now. Stephen Melching and Henry Gilroy, while it was directed by Jesse Yeh. I hope that's how you say your last name. Some extra information about this episode, and I was thinking about how this would make it so much better.
Okay.
Quinlan Vos was originally slated to appear in an early draft of Bomb That Jedi. He was to be working undercover and actually using his Force ability to make it look like Jar Jar was a Jedi. He was eventually cut because at the early stages of production, the studio hadn't had the ability to include many new characters because of the time it took to create a digital model. Quinlan Vos would have made this episode awesome.
Well,
he's a sexy man.
Well, that's the thing. It would have been like, if you had him there using his Jedi powers to manipulate Jar Jar, why not just do it yourself, you know? It would have just been an excuse to have him in there, which would have been actually really cool.
He is so handsome.
Oh, he would have given Rex a run for his money, huh?
I love those episodes. Like one episode he's in with Obi-Wan, and Cad Bane. It's a great episode. It is such a good one. But, he was originally slated. And then the other thing was, this is the only episode of season one to have Ahmed Best, who was the original voice of Jar Jar Binks, in this season. B.J. Hughes took over afterward all the way through season two, but then in season three, Best reprised his role again as Jar Jar. And the cute little slug monster that Jar Jar makes friends with is based on an unused Ralph McQuarrie design of a swamp slug on Dagobah. Bam!
Called a Quazzel Ma. I'll pronounce it wrong.
Quazzelma. That's why I was just like the cute little slug thing.
And that was a and that was a sarcastic little too, because it's humongous.
Yeah, it was kind of cute though when it wasn't trying to eat people.
Yes.
I'm glad you took that. You get the gold star because I didn't even try. Well, as always, we have a moral and a tagline of this episode, as presented in Bad Yoda Voices in Bed. Take it away, Chris.
Heroes are made by the times in bed.
Okay, if you say so.
Maybe you have to be so good that you become a hero and people tell stories about your...
Yes, a legend.
I'm so excited to hear what you have to say about this episode. I'm like ready to like dive into it.
Okay, let's go, because I'm ready to spill the happiness.
I'm just going to dump a pound of Gatorade on you. Not even a liter, a pound of Haterade.
Oh.
It's going to be so heavy. So, as more worlds leave the Republic to join the Separatists, Padmé heads to the world of Rodia to ensure they're not jumping ship as well. She is joined by C-3PO and Jar Jar Binks as she speaks to Chancellor Palpatine. Right away, Jar Jar falls over the controls and sets the ship into a spin. Palpatine is not happy at all that Jar Jar is on such a delicate mission. Landing on Rodia, Padme tells Jar Jar to stay with C-3PO as she handles this mission. She meets with Senator Farr, a longtime family friend who Padme calls Uncle Ono. Ono is angry that the Republic didn't come help his people when they were needed, leaving them stranded to starve. To Padme's horror, Rodia has already accepted a deal from the Separatists, leader Newt Gunray, for relief supplies. A trap is sprung as Padme is surrounded by droids. Ono produces a hologram of Gunray, who says that for Rodia to get supplies, Padme has to be captured. Okay, I'm really go.
You know why I like this episode?
Why?
Because here it comes, you know, this far into the season, and they just said, hey, you know what? Fuck you. We're going to throw all the elements that everybody's crying about from episode one into this. Everybody hated the Jar Jar. Everybody just generally, C-3PO is like nice as a coloring, but as a major story element, the Padme at first is the Padme of episode one, just saying things like, you know, we must not ever leave diplomacy and abandon diplomacy, and just sort of like saying catchphrases, although she does sort of become kick-ass towards the end. But and Newt Gunray, everybody was griping about them being, you know, racist Chinese caricatures, dumb characters.
Really? I never saw them as that.
Oh, that I mean, when the movie first came out, I mean...
Their eyes remind me of the Hypnotoad from Futurama. Yes. So I'm just, like, waiting for him to, like, grab Padme and just be like...
Ow. Yeah.
Like, I am, like, waiting for them to do that. Like, really? Chinese caricatures?
Yeah, so here you just sort of have all these elements that were, like, kind of, like, the weakest... I mean... The only thing that they didn't add to it that probably would have made people go nuts even more on this is if, like, Anakin, like, accidentally got hit with some sort of, like, time ray that made him back into little Anakin.
And his mitochondria or mitochlorian.
Midichlorian ray or something.
Did I say mitochondria?
And so he's, I'm sure that's where they got the name, where George Lucas got the name of it. But, you know, where they had little Anakin there for the episode, that would have been the only thing they could have added to it to make it more, you know, and she's going for negotiations and it's politics and all that. So it's just like, oh, this is going to be stupid.
Mm-hmm.
But they take all those characters. And this is the first time that we've seen Jar Jar in the element that he's supposed to be in a cartoon.
Oh yeah, this is his first appearance in the show, isn't it?
I think it is. Yeah.
Yeah, this is.
And here he is in his element, you know, in doing a combination of, you know, being lucky and heroic in his own way, and, you know, just messing things up. But how his mess ups eventually sort of spiral into helping the situation, you know, towards, you know, as we get towards the end. And you can't do something like that. You can't take the time to just have 22 minutes of Jar Jar comedy, and you can do it in this. And mm-hmm. It's like where the character belongs, you know. And 3PO get, you know, you have 3PO getting beat up. Who doesn't like that?
A really good point. Like, if Jar Jar hadn't been in the prequels at all, and this was an introduction to him and, like, what kind of character he is, I think it probably would have worked better, because, you know, everyone going into this episode was just like, oh, Jar Jar.
It's Jar Jar. They
didn't have that shade, like, that, like, shaded, jaded view of him going into this episode, so he probably would have gotten, like, maybe, like, better reception, especially from kids. Because I remember as a kid, I loved Jar Jar. Because I was young when the prequels came out. I saw the movies.
And I've never been a Jar Jar hater, you know. I was relieved that he got his role cut down in the subsequent movies. But, I admit there were points in episode one where it was cringy. But I understood what his character was doing in the movie in the context of everything.
Explain.
Phantom Menace? Why Jar Jar was in Phantom Menace?
Yeah, like, what is his character role? Everything.
He's an even younger proxy than Finn is in Force Awakens.
Did you just compare Jar Jar to Finn?
Yes.
Okay, continue.
Because he's there to be, you know, this is theoretically, this is what I think George Lucas, I think he's actually verbalized it. He's there. As that's the character that the little kids are going to identify with. Although, naturally, if I was a little kid, I think I'd want to identify with Anakin. You know, mm-hmm. whether he was thinking maybe, well, because Anakin's, you know, very talented or something, or whatever. But, you know, Jar Jar was almost there for, like, little kids, you know, an element to... You know, I think
he is the one that is, like, kind of sort of the audience's voice, because he tends to ask questions like, what is this? What is that? Who is this? Who is that? Only it's like, Misa doesn't know what this is.
Yeah.
So that's true. He is kind of playing that audience role, so, you know, Qui-Gon and Obi-Wan can explain things.
Well, those characters are also there so little kids don't get too scared, too.
Mm.
So things are starting to get heavy. You have Jar Jar go, oh, and lick, you know, stick out his tongue at something, and... Or if it's, you know, people are talking too much, you know, Jar Jar is going to do something that's going to make the kids interested, you know, ostensibly. That was the, you know, I think the logic behind why he was created for the movie.
Mm.
You know, I don't think George Lucas wrote him to be like, and he's going to slowly, you know, make his way. And this episode actually is a good example of, you know, when Jar Jar ends up saving the day, you know, it's just another, it makes it a little more plausible that he could actually be in the Senate, you know, at some point.
Yeah, you know, because he's just like a representative.
Yeah, yeah, but either way, you know, it's just like, okay, he's a war hero from the Battle of Gungan, and he saved Amidala from on Rhodia too, so... You know, that was probably good in his campaign to become a representative. But, yeah, I understood why he was in the movie, and it wasn't for my enjoyment. You know, I wasn't, as an adult, I wasn't, you know, a 25-year-old, or I was had probably be older than that, adult. I wasn't supposed to be entertained by him. I would have liked to have been more entertained by him, but I wasn't like, actively like, oh, he's got to go, you know?
Yeah.
It just didn't grind my gears like it does, it seems, 99% of the rest of the population.
I think for me, because like I said, I initially liked him as a kid. I think I kind of grew up in all that hatred, and so I could start seeing people's arguments. But it kind of hit me when I was in college and taking a history of theater class, history of American theater class, and as we were going through how some of the blackface characters used to talk, like during the vaudeville days and stuff,
step
like
and
that.
Fetch it, yep.
Yeah, it hit me. I was like, we were watching a clip, and I was like, oh my god, they all sound like Jar Jar Binks.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that and between him and Newt Gunray. You know, that was a big, you know, right in the initial reviews of the episode one when it came out, they were just like, what the hell is up with the step and fetch it, you know, guy talking, you know, in the weird, like, Caribbean patois. And then you have Newt Gunray is like an evil, you know, the evil Chinese mastermind in an old serial. You know, he talks with that, you know, it's the Chinese version of the blackface Jar Jar voice.
Yeah.
So
I never thought about it that way, huh?
And I think with Newt Gunray, it was on purpose. And it wasn't to be racist. It was just to evoke old World War II movies, which were racist. Jar Jar...
That's racist.
But Jar Jar, I think, was created... I think Jar Jar was pretty much a creation of Amit Best, you know? I think George Lucas told him, you know, Jar Jar is this kind of character and stuff, and said, let's work on the voice, and pretty much, you know, treated Amit Best like he was a Frank Oz, you know? Okay, you make this character, and Amit Best was like, oh, I'm going to make a little... You know, I look at Jar Jar more as a combination... Like, the voice is more like a combination of Roger Rabbit with Elmo, you know, mixed together, right?
Oh, man.
Because that was the first clip that I saw.
Oh, my God. Jar Jar is kind of like Roger Rabbit and, like, what's the guy's name? The human guy.
Does the voice of Roger Rabbit?
No, the human guy in the movie. It's been forever since I've seen Roger Rabbit.
Oh, Bob Hoskins?
Yeah, Bob is like every other character in Star Wars.
Yeah.
Oh my god, Roger Rabbit!
Yeah, but well, when the movie came out, they'd show, you know, and you saw no scenes, just the trailers for it. The day of the movie, you know, there were reviews, and they had one scene that they let out, and it was the scene where he first meets Jar Jar, and then Obi-Wan meets up with him, and they knock down the two droids that are coming after him. And Jar Jar does a type thing, and it's just like, oh, we were like, whoa, Roger Rabbit's in the movie. You know, he's even got floppy ears like Roger Rabbit. So
I think you just succeeded to make me like Jar Jar slightly more.
That's my aim with this episode. I'll have you liking this episode. I'll have you watching this again and, like, with little Jar Jar flags waving them at the screen.
Wee. Okay, we're not going to go that far. But, like, writing-wise, though, in the context of the actual episode, I like I said, I understand that he's, from a kid's point of view, like, I can see why kids like Jar Jar because I was in that camp as well. But with the actual adults, like Padme and Anakin, they clearly don't want to be around him. Like, Padme purposely leaves Jar Jar with C-3PO, and I don't understand why they even put up with him.
Why were they bringing him there?
In the first place. Yeah, and, like, whenever there's, like, scenes with Jar Jar, he's mostly with Amidala. And so, but, like, the very few times, like, he's with Anakin, like, everybody just is just like, oh, it's Jar Jar. I'm like, why does anybody put up with him then? Like, that's, like, from a writing point of view, I just don't understand that.
Yeah, I mean, and I like the irony of this. It was where it's usually like, oh, it's Jar Jar, but here when he was showing up, he was the Jedi, you know?
Yeah.
Whenever anybody saw him. So he was getting a lot of respect in this episode.
Yeah.
I didn't notice him or know him, you know, personally.
Yeah, so I never understood, like, why he was there in the first place.
Yeah. As a matter of fact,
I mean, it's good that he was there because he, you know, ends up saving Padme.
Yeah,
probably would have gotten killed. But I mean, like, there was a plethora of other characters they could have put in that role that would have probably made more sense. Like, they could have put, like, Bail there. They could have put, C-3PO could have probably figured out how to save her. I mean, R2 could have gone. I mean, there's different people who could have been in that role.
Well, C-3PO's impersonated a god. He might be able to impersonate a Jedi too. So it's not beyond the realm of probability, possibility, I guess.
Yeah. I just kind of wish Quinlan Voss did show up. He was just like, hey, I'm shirtless. And blinds all the battlefield on his gleaming chest. Whoa.
Yeah, it just wouldn't have been it wouldn't have been the same. I like that Jar Jar is the focus. I like that Jar Jar is it might not even be the episode itself as much as just the fact that the writers were like, you know, screw you guys, we're going to make Jar Jar the hero.
That should be the name of this episode.
Like
that,
we're going to put Newt Gunray in there too. How do you like that? And they're all going with C-3PO and Amidala. There's your cast.
The name of this episode should be Clone Wars writers give snotty fanboys the finger.
Yeah, yeah.
That is the name of this episode when you edit it. Dave Filoni gives fanboys the finger.
Yeah, I like that.
That's a clickbait title if I ever heard one. Filoni's finger to fanboys.
But you know, you've seen you saw the fanboys at the way back at Dragon Con.
Oh, I know, and I still see them all the time. My favorite is when fanboys don't actually give things a try; they just assume they hate it.
Yeah, it's
like the other day I was talking because I work in a comic book store and blah blah blah. I was talking with this guy, and like they were talking about like we were talking about like the all new different Marvel that's been going on, and I was like, yeah, and I was like, I'd be really surprised if Jason Aaron's current run of Thor is not nominated for an Eisner. And he was just like, psh, I don't like this girl, Thor. I was like, and I looked at him like, have you read it? He's like, no, I haven't read any of it. And I'm like, how do you know that you don't like it, you ass?
Not just that he didn't like it, but he just totally pshawed it away from the realm of possibility because he doesn't like the idea of it.
I'm okay if like someone like reads some, gives it a try, and then they don't like it. That is one thing. At least you tried and you formed an opinion about it. But, like, people who just are like, psh, I don't, or, like, people who are like, I don't like Rebels because it's on Disney and it's a kid show. Have you watched it? Especially season 2, which has been freaking crazy. So, I'm excited for this Wednesday's episode.
What episode number is it on now?
I don't know, but I just know Zeb is getting, his people back.
I've watched up to 10, so I have.
What was the last episode that you watched?
I think 10 was the mid season.
Have you watched Leia yet?
Before the mid season. No, I haven't seen Leia yet.
Leia!
So I haven't seen any episodes after that. So I think I'm 2 behind right now.
Oh, it's.
And then I'll be 3 behind on Wednesday. But I like that because then I could just
watch all 3 of. The last episode, Chris, was Mando's galore. It was so good.
Oh, cool.
It was a Sabine episode, and it filled in a lot of stuff about Mandalorian history and Sabine's history.
So when we do shows on Rebels, we won't have to change the title at all.
Yeah, I know. It was Mando's galore, and it was glorious. And when you watch the episode, you need to watch Rebels Recon, which is that, like, as soon as the episode airs, they throw up Rebels Recon on YouTube. And it's behind the scenes look, and they like talk to Dave, and they talk to the voice actors, and they talk to Pablo, and they fill in like these chunks about like different characters in the episodes and stuff like that. Well, pretty much in this Rebels Recon, they gave a history of what happened to Mandalore from Clone Wars to now.
Ooh.
Yeah, they were like, "This is what happened to all the Mandalorians." Bam, and I was like, "Oh!" Oh! So yes. Yes, it was. Oh, I can't wait. After you see that episode, go watch Rebels Recon.
I might have to do that.
You should, because it's glorious. And you find out some stuff about... You find out a connection to Clone Wars that is within Sabine and her bubble.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. And that's all I'll say. Because I pretty much, like, blew my mind. Anyway!
Yes.
But yeah, fanboys... Finger.
Oh, there's even another fart joke in this. Another thing that people complained about. Fart jokes in Star Wars. This one has this one's the second fart joke in Clone Wars so far. I'm keeping count.
The fart joke count. You should, like, every time there's a fart joke, you should put up a sound. So this is two, so you just go... Just fart. And then on the next one, be like, fart. And then on the fourth one, fart.
Well, I'll be really embarrassed if there's no more fart jokes. But if there's been two so far, I'm guessing there's probably going to be some more sometime down the line.
Yeah, at least till we start getting to more darker, grittier stuff. We're still in fun time.
Well, that's when we have the fart jokes of, like, where the clone troopers fart inside a clone armor. More adult humor.
I would love to see an episode of just, like, what clones do on their days off.
Probably a lot of washing and cleaning armor to clean the smell out of farts and sweat.
But, like, just being also kind of, like, I see them sort of frat boy-y a little bit.
Oh, sure.
Because I know you haven't seen it yet, but there's an episode where there's a clone bar, and they're all drinking at a bar and stuff, and, like, there's ladies there and stuff.
Yeah, well, they're clones, but, yeah, that doesn't mean they're not human.
Yeah. So I would love an episode of, like, what clones do on their day as, one of them maybe has, like, a side girl. I'm gonna cry. And then he doesn't come back, and then she cries. Dave, I need this episode. Dave Filoni. Oh, my God, I'm starting to sound like Rebels chat. Anyway, I did want to just make a quick note. I like the design of Rodia. I think it's a really cool-looking planet. And all throughout the episode, Kevin Kiner does a really great job of the music.
Some of the music in this part was, like, kind of weird with a harmonica playing.
It was, like, exotic. I was trying to pinpoint, I was like, it doesn't exactly sound Hindi, but it also doesn't exactly sound Middle Eastern either.
Yeah, and it had a little bit of country to it. It was strange. It was odd music, and it just sort of appeared in the beginning, and then it was more traditional music throughout the rest of the episode.
I know, but I really liked it because I was like, this really, because it happened only in the time where we saw, like, a big wide shot of the planet as a whole, like, as much of the planet as we saw, and so it really set the tone that this is a very exotic world, it's different, it's not Coruscant, it's kind of wild, and that's all we needed to know, and it was a very nice, like, 5-10 seconds of, this is everything you need to know about this world. It's wild and different. Go.
Yeah, and they had... I like that it was kind of very rough, but they had nice digital texturing on all everything there to give it a sort of organic look. Even the technology and stuff sort of had a, like, almost like it was carved out of stone look to it. It was
yeah.
Nice. Or had a layer of moss on it, or, you know, everything. It was pretty nice. I also like Padme's shit. I like the yellow color. I like how... Everybody's ships will have a different color scheme based on their panel lights. And she had a yellow panel lights in her ship. So everything had, like, this yellow glow to it. It was weird. It's a weird color to have sort of as your, you know, as a, almost like a, they're using the panels almost like gels in lighting to have, like, yellow gels on people is weird, but it worked really, it looked really neat.
I didn't notice that. I'll have to go back and take a look at that.
I really noticed the colors in Clone Wars. I just love the color schemes they have and the way everything has almost a little neon edge to it. It's just really nice. I like it.
Yes, and there's some episodes where, like, a lot of the colors and the lighting plays actually a huge role in mood and setting, like, the character's mood as well.
Oh, yeah.
I'm mostly at the moment thinking of the Mortis arc, where they actually literally meet the father, the son, and the daughter of the Force. A lot of that episode was lighting and mood, and, like, Anakin can be like, oh, I'm grumpy, and it'd get cloudy, and be like, ha-ha. That arc. I love and hate that arc at the exact same time.
Yeah.
All right, are you ready for the second act?
I am indeed.
I'm going to say I wrote these notes before Chris made me realize that Jar Jar is Roger Rabbit, so I apologize now. In a useless time-wasting scene, Jar Jar fails to make contact with swamp life around Rodia. Luckily, to put us all out of our misery, droids come for him in C-3PO. Jar Jar gets tangled up in a control panel, accidentally getting C-3PO stuck on a giant magnet. He swings the magnet, knocking away the battle droids. A crab droid throws Jar Jar on top of it, and he rides it off a ledge into the swamp. Jar Jar climbs back up to the landing platform, alive, sadly. After freeing 3PO from the magnet, he promptly accidentally smashes Padme's ship into pieces. They find a closet with a Jedi robe, probably belonging to Anakin, though it's never said in the episode. Jar Jar takes the robe to be in disguise. Padme is locked away and quite salty about being shackled up and thrown shade about how this is the ways of the Separatists. Ono is not pleased at all, but leaves to go meet with Gunray. Jar Jar overhears where Padme is being held. The battle droids mistake Jar Jar for a Jedi as he falls through the grate into the waters below the city. 3PO is taken captured by the droids too. Padme starts playing the droids as she picks her lock. She says there's a Jedi in there with her. Taking the droids by surprise, she steals a gun and rescues herself like a badass boss before rescuing 3PO. She plans then to capture Newt Gunray and to send out a distress signal to any nearby clone ships. So I wanna throw something at you, and it's something I kind of want to do over the course of this entire podcast series.
Okay. Hello?
Oh, there you are.
I'm here.
I thought I lost you. So we know it's not true, and it's been disproven and everything by Lucasfilms and everything, but it actually totally blew my mind about this Darth Jar Jar theory and how much it could possibly like really make sense. And I wanted to propose, over the course of all these episodes, us trying to prove that Jar Jar is actually a Sith Lord in disguise, because he has far too much dumb luck on his side.
Well, yeah, but that almost, you see, that's, I think that comes from the Jar Jar hatred out there. I mean, usually you have the dumb luck of the pure at heart, you know, he's dumb and pure at heart. So, yeah, he gets into a lot of pratfalls, but it always works out for the worst because, you know, God loves an idiot or whatever, you know?
God loves an idiot.
It's an actual phrase, yeah.
I've never heard that one.
Or like drunkard's luck, you know, there's also the people will have drunkard's luck where, you know, somehow they'll get home 5 miles while being blackout drunk without, you know, hurting themselves. That's what I always figured Jar Jar to be. More of a, you know, he's kind of an agent of chaos because he's so clumsy, but it usually ends up working to his advantage in the end, you know. Mm-hmm. After pratfall, after pratfall, after pratfall, the last pratfall ends up, you know, knocking out the bad guy. Or, you know, it's a Rube Goldberg machine type of thing, and that's what this whole episode is about, you know, just him instead, you know, messing up in order to succeed. The road to success is a mess. It's very similar, actually, to the Lando comics that just came out recently, where, you know, except Lando was doing a combination of things that were extremely smart and extremely dumb at the same time, ending up in trouble and then getting out the other side of it. Jar Jar's the same, except without the just extremely smart in there.
And so I'm guessing you don't want to try and prove that he's a Darth Sith Lord in this.
No. No, although it could lay the tracks for it, because he might have gotten a taste for being considered a Jedi by, you know, wearing the robe and stuff. And I'm sure if he tried to be a Jedi, he would have gotten laughed out of Jedi Academy, and that could have made him a Sith, maybe.
Or he destroyed Amidala's ship on purpose and made it look like an accident.
Yeah, possibly.
Because he knew he was already captured, but he didn't want to blow his cover either. Or maybe Dooku gave him secret orders to get Gunray captured.
Oh.
Yeah, set up a test to prove that Ventress is actually worthy next episode.
Sure.
Maybe he did it on purpose because he wants Ventress out of the way to become the next Sith apprentice.
Yeah, but why does everything have to be so complicated for the Sith?
I don't understand the rule of two. I really don't understand the rule of two. Why not just have a leader and have an army of Sith? Like, look at the Inquisitors. They get shit done.
Yeah.
Well, fine. I'm going to spend this entire series proving that Jar Jar is a Sith Lord.
Sorry.
He's a Sith Lord. It's going to happen. So what did you think about this section, Chris?
I have the oddest note in here. It says, scene from episode 1 with Jar Jar. I have no idea what that note means. I must have seen something in there that just mirrored something that was in episode 1. I don't remember what it was, though. I have a very similar note to you. I think there's a whole in your synopsis you mentioned it. That whole scene, I guess it was there to show that he can talk to other animals sometimes, so that...
We already know that he can do that from the prequels.
Right. But I guess that was there just in case maybe you weren't brushed up on it or didn't notice, and that's how he charmed the giant slug creature. But that scene is just kind of useless. It seems like it's going somewhere, you know? You're like, what's he? He's gonna either get attacked by something or something, and it just ends up they get a little, I guess, poop thrown at him or mud or something. I'm gonna say poop, and of course it hits 3PO. Mm-hmm. But it was almost like they cut something out of that had to do with that scene, and we never got to see the resolution to it. You know, it was.
Yeah. It'd be one thing if it was like, you know, a shot like look down and you see the giant slug later on and he's like spitting up at them.
Right.
That'd be one thing because then it would play into the rest of it. But it didn't even sound because like we also see later on in the scene that he can touch the slug and everything. So we don't. I feel like they just, you know, needed a little time filler right there. Like they were like, oh no, we wrote 22 minutes and we need 24 minutes.
If I had made this show, I would have added one thing. Well, it's in the third part, so I'm gonna have to bring it. But we were talking about the slug. But remind me what I would have done differently in Act 3. Just a little detail.
Okay.
I wish I could remember what shot. It was probably a particular shot, but there was probably something swiped from episode 1 in this episode.
I do kind of find it a little sloppy on Anakin's part that he left a robe on Padme's ship.
Yeah, just a spare one in case he needs one, you know?
But, like, I mean, that's a little sloppy. Like, what if it was, like, Bail on this mission? Or, like, if it was Quinlan Voss, I can see him being like, why is this robe here?
It's like your girlfriend finds a shoe or something. Yeah, your girlfriend finds another pair of women's shoes at your house, and it's your you know, your other girlfriend's spare pair of shoes.
Yeah.
Just keeps them there in case she needs them. Yeah. But they had to get him into a Jedi. You know, they could have come up with something where a piece of tarp ripped off or something and hit it and, like, he pulled it over him and all of a sudden he looks like a Jedi, you know. It could have been something like that.
Yeah, but, like, to me, like, even though Anakin's not in this episode at all, that felt really out of character for Anakin. To, like, leave an entire Jedi robe on Padme's ship. Especially, like, if you wouldn't think of it was, like, stuffed under a seat, but just hanging nicely in her closet.
How many of those do they get, you know? They just...
Obi-Wan, I don't want to tell you this, but I haven't found the right thing. So, you know how in the prequels, like, before every fight, Obi-Wan, like, throws off his robe and just drops it? Someone did a count, and he went through 6 robes over the course of the prequels.
I mean, yeah, they just don't show the scene of all the Jedi walking out in the battle scene and picking up their robes afterwards before they go home. But all right, let's go get our robes and get out of here.
And then all these jokes. Have you ever seen the animated movie Anastasia?
I did a long time ago, I think when it came out.
So, like, there's the scene where the con artists are, like, interviewing different girls about being Anastasia, and there's that one older lady in the big fur coat, and she's like, Grandmother, I'm Anastasia. a lot of people have been making gift sets of Obi-Wan stripping off his robe going, I'm Anastasia. But yeah, Obi-Wan went through 6 robes in the prequels.
Jeez.
I know. He's keeping the Jedi robe maker.
There's some old lady down in the Jedi temple who's handing those out that he has to go in with a requisition form to, and she's like smoking a cigarette and just like, what, another one? Jesus, Obi-Wan.
God, Obi-Wan.
Come on, Obi-Wan.
I'm going to stop putting tracking beacons in this. Just starts like, you know how you have that app on your phone and you know, if like you use your phone, you can like log into your computer and track your phone. She like starts sewing in like little beacons. So like he just checks his like Jedi phone and can like track him and find his robe. I will say in this act,
the Force instead of apps, Hope.
I don't know. I realized I started saying Holo Skype in my reviews.
Just call them Force apps.
Force apps. The iForce. And the Sith to use androids.
Yeah. Ah! Wow.
Yay!
Good one.
Oh, I'm so proud. I just nailed that. I'm so proud of me. Oh, I do like in this act of 3PO playing the straight man role to Jar Jar's hijinks.
Yeah.
It's a really good role for him, because a lot of times he's with, like, R2-D2, so it's just him reacting to beeps. But, like, him just being straight up like, I don't know what's going on. Or just, I just really like 3PO in that role. I kind of actually wish they used that more.
Well, he's half sort of, like, chiding Jar Jar and half, like, sort of like, okay, we can opportunistically use some this clumsiness, you know, especially in the scene with the giant magnet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we can use some of it to our advantage, but 3PO is always just 3PO is always just like you tolerate him favorably.
Yeah,
it's never like woohoo, go 3PO.
Yeah, I mean, it might not. A lot of people might not agree with me, but 3PO is actually like one of my least favorite characters.
He's very much like Jar Jar, but they use him to just the right use in this, I think.
Yeah, like I like him with certain characters, like 3PO and Wolf together are awesome because Wolf just does not put up with him. So I really like those episodes, like the I think it's called Mercy Mission is the episode. Like Wolf had just like no fucks to give for 3PO, and so it's really funny together. But I mean, other than that, like certain characters, like even Anakin, I feel like he pawned him off on Padme. He's like, here, have 3PO.
Oh yeah, everybody's just like everybody wants to hang out with R2.
R2's like R2 like invites people to his crib for the pool party.
Right.
Like, 3PO is the nerd that shows.
3PO is like, take your shoes off before you come inside.
You have to wait 20 minutes before swimming.
Yeah, I have.
And 3PO is just like jumping off the high beam, like slurping on a cup of oil or something. Just like, boo! What are we doing this episode? Though, to kind of support a point I had earlier in the episode, there's that scene where 3PO and Padme, after, like, she's like, we'll go to the strip. And he was like, no, it's destroyed. Battle droids? No. Jar Jar? Jar Jar. And I'm just like, why do you put up with him?
Yeah.
Why did you bring him, Padme?
Let's bring somebody who has a penchant for making everything mechanical go wrong for no reason.
Mm-hmm.
At least it wasn't like a tactical mission or something. It was just generally she thought she was going to go there and meet with her old friend or something. So she was maybe like, okay, you know, once we get settled in, we can just have Jar Jar hang out. It'll be fun for him.
Because it'd be one thing if, like, Jar Jar knew that he was, like, a fuck-up. You know? Cause, like,
he knows.
I don't know if he knows.
He explains it in episode 1 pretty much, like, 8 times through the whole thing.
Okay, because coming from me, I haven't seen episode 1 since pretty much it's been in theaters. So, whatever year it came out, it's been probably 2/3 of my life since I've seen episode 1. Which might be bad or good for this podcast. But, like, did you ever see the original Teen Titans cartoon?
I've seen scattered episodes along when it was on the air.
It was so good. But anyway, there's a character called Jinx, and she's a bad guy. And her powers makes chaos, you know, makes things like makes chaos and like makes things
Murphy's
like
Murphy's Law sort of things happen.
Yeah, and like makes things like go wrong and stuff like that. Well, there's an entire episode that she's talking with Speedy, and she's like, I can never be a hero because all I can do is break and make things mess up. And he's like, no, you can be a hero. And, like, she knows that she messes up and that's her powers, and she feels like she can't be a good guy. It'd be one thing if Jar Jar had, like, a moment like that where he's like, I know I mess up, and I'm trying my damnedest. And it's, you know, and Jinx ends up at the end of the series being a hero. She joins the Teen Titans, and she also dates Speedy, which is really cute. Oh, it's not Speedy, it's Kid Flash. I'm sorry, it's Kid Flash. I thought probably will get angry tweets about that. It was Kid Flash, and she ends up dating and being a hero with the Teen Titans. And so if you want to think of, like, Jar Jar had that moment when he's, like, down on himself, he's like, I'm messing up, I can't do this, and then he, like, pulls himself together, and he's like, you know what, I'm gonna make this work even though I'm a mess up. You know, that'd be, like, redeeming Jar Jar, and it'd be awesome, but we never get that, and it pisses me off.
No. Yeah, there's never going to... Well, I shouldn't say there's never going to be character development, because you sort of spilled what happens with Jar Jar later on in the series, way later on in the series. So I guess that's character development. At least it's a different angle on Jar Jar.
And I guess anyway. It grates on me so much because, like, there's just a ton of Jar Jar in this. Like, Jar Jar doesn't bother me so much, like, in the Blue Shadow Virus episodes and, like, those kind of episodes, only just because there's other characters to balance it out. You know, there's, like... There's Ahsoka and Rex and Anakin and Obi-Wan and Padme and stuff like that. So there's enough characters where it's not, like, overbearing, like, someone didn't pick up Jar Jar and just slap you in the face with him. I mean, there's just,
Yeah, I think don't use him or use him everyone. You could do an episode featuring Jar Jar every few seasons.
Yeah. Like, I actually really enjoyed the episode where it was him and Mace Windu. Like him with Wet Blanket Windu is just great together. They are a fantastic team. And I would watch, like, 5 more episodes of them together because you have Jar Jar actually makes Wet Blanket Windu interesting.
Right.
He actually does stuff and he's interesting. And so I was just like, whoa. Jar Jar has, like, feelings and personalities, and him and Windu should always be together.
Yeah, I'm sure Mace Windu's all into that.
Oh, no. Anyway, did you have anything else about the second section?
Nope. The only other note I have is Amidala's doing some ninja shit towards the end of this section.
Oh, yeah. I love when she rescues herself. That's so smart.
Has a little more skill than she does in the movies, but it works well in the cartoons to have.
Yeah, I think maybe that a little bit is just because it's animated. I'm not sure how flexible Natalie Portman is, and not saying that she's not flexible, but that'd be, like, really difficult for a real life human to do.
She was doing borderline commando sort of stuff where she, you know, I don't want to say Jedi sort of stuff, but clone sort of stuff where she would run, jump up on a wall, kick herself into the air, and shoot a droid and then shoot another droid, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That sort of stuff. But it's great to watch.
Yeah,
it's
really
a cartoon,
is.
So I'm going with it, and it's great. You know, I'd rather have her doing ninja stuff than going, you know, we must never abandon diplomacy and just spouting off, you know, Senator Spiel.
So, Act 3. Gunray tells Ono he plans on executing Padme. Ono realizes that he's made a huge mistake in joining the Separatists. He plans on appeasing Gunray until the so-called Jedi can show up. Jar Jar barks out in happiness that Padme escaped her holding cell, drawing the attention of Gunray and the droids. He bungees back down on a vine to Padme's location as a fight breaks out. Padme is cornered by Gunray, believing that Jar Jar was blown up in an underwater channel. 3PO is also captured. Ono begs for Padme to be spared, but Gunray is out for blood. I guess luckily, Jar Jar befriends a sea slug and rides it to the surface. The slug rips the droids apart as Padme captured Gunray. Ono grabs a gun to help in the capture, choosing the Republic in the end. Just then, a Republic warship arrives for clones to take Gunray into custody. Palpatine holoskypes in and tells Ono that supplies are on the way for Rodia. The end. Okay, what would you change about the ending?
What would I change about the ending?
You told me to remind you when we got to Act 3.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's just a minor little shot, and it's kind of mean and mean-natured, but it would be very Star Wars and very funny in a sort of dark sort of way. is there's a scene later on where they're talking, and in the background you see the sea slug, and the clones are starting to walk up to it, and one of them actually starts petting it on the nose.
I had a note about that. Go on.
And I think it would have been really funny if he was petting it on the nose and the slug just sort of looked around and didn't see anybody looking and went, gloomp, and just ate a clone. Just in the background, you know, pick it up if you pick it up. But I would have thrown that in the background. I thought it would have been really funny and Star Wars-y, a nice little Star Wars-y detail.
Oh, God, because I was saying that was probably my favorite part of the animal, the episode. It was the clone was just petting the sea slug like it was a big, giant cat.
Yeah, just came just up. Like, or like a horse or something. He's, like, patting it on the nose, like, hey, boy.
He's just like, hey, I'm a slug. And the clone's like, yeah. I would love, like, in season 4 to see that clone just, like, riding the slug into battle. It's like, wee!
Well, once they figured out that that they were using slugs for battle, then they would have just fought back with giant salt cannons.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, maybe in that underwater arc. There's an arc in season 4 where it was all completely underwater. That one. So, that would be a good episode. But, like, the clone just being like, yeah, Tad Cooper! I just made a Gallivant joke.
But that was, that's my only real note. I just realized when you were reading the story that there's a nice parallel at the end of this story and at the end of the next story on opposite ends of the spectrum. And this one, Padme sort of covers Yoko Ono's ass by, you know, saying, oh, yeah, you didn't, you know, it wasn't a betrayal. It was, you know... It was a double betrayal, and he actually helped and saved everything and helped set the trap and stuff and sort of bails him out, you know. Very, mm-hmm. very nice of her, because he probably should have ended up in prison because of that.
Yeah, I didn't say that in the beginning, but I'm not a big fan of Ono, because just about every episode he's in, he's completely spineless.
Yeah, well, maybe that's his character. And then we have another character who's spineless, who contributes to a bailout in the next episode with Newt Gunray and Ventress. She sort of bails herself out at the end.
Yeah.
To take credit for succeeding in her job when she really didn't do much.
Which you can hear next Wednesday on the next Jedi.
That's on the next J Guys and Jedi. But I just want people to hear it now so they can go, oh, yeah.
Yeah, I didn't think about that. That's actually a really good point.
Smart.
And then I started realizing as I was, like, watching these episodes that this one, the next one, and the one after it is actually, like, a little three-parter. But unlike the Malevolence arc, it's not, like, all tied together. They're actually three standalone episodes, but their tie is Newt Gunray.
Right.
And capturing Newt Gunray, and then his escape, and then them trying to find him again. I didn't realize that, and it was actually a really smart little setup there.
Well, it's like we're in this phase where they're experimenting with doing several part stories, and they're doing them now, a little arc, but they're doing it in a different way. Like, mm-hmm. the last arc with the Malevolence was pretty much sort of like you could have edited them together into a movie. This one you could too, but it would be like a movie in three separate parts.
It'd be very disjointed.
Yeah, and they're experimenting with the music, and they're experimenting with what character, you know, they're getting a little of all the characters to see who flies, and they're just trying out everything, and it's a riot to watch.
Mm.
And I think we'll notice as it gets further along, they start cementing their format, and they keep some stuff, and some stuff we won't see again. Some, you know, some types of music won't show up again and stuff. But then I think all the way through, they keep trying new little elements. And if they don't work, well, out the window they go. And if they do work, we'll explore it further. It's great to watch.
Oh, that's the fun of television.
Well, you know, I grew up in a time, and now it's gonna, like, when I as an old guy say, I grew up in a time where cartoons, it's usually I'm gonna say something about how my cartoons were much better than the cartoons of today, but absolutely not true. It's absolutely not true. The cartoons of right now are the best cartoons ever.
I was about to say, I would counter you for with all Gravity reasons. Falls and Steven Universe.
Oh, no. Back when I was watching cartoons, they were straight up formula. I mean, every episode of every cartoon, for the most part, of American Saturday morning cartoons, which is where most of them came from, they were the same show every time with just variations. A different villain, a different thing, but they had the same jokes. They were all self-contained. You know, they no nuance because it was all just the same thing over and over again. And nowadays, not so, not like that at all.
No.
Way, way better. I mean, there's still crappy cartoons out there, but
but
not in the proportion of crappy to good as in my day, which was, you know, a huge ratio of crappy to a very tiny ratio of good.
Yes. Yeah.
I mean, Scooby-Doo was good.
It wasn't even like that, like, even like 5-10 years ago, because there was a time when I was a nanny where it was before this kind of more recent thing. I remember watching a lot of really, really, really crappy cartoons, and I was just like, oh my God, my brain. There was a time, like, kind of early to mid-2000s. Where cartoons were just asinine, and they talked down to children.
Well, yeah, there was a point where they stopped. There was a point where, you know, before there was the assumption of, the kids are stupid and they'll watch anything. So just get a cartoon out, and we'll try and get our cartoon watched more by using, you know, a popular character or basing it on a video game or something like that.
Yeah.
And, somewhere along the line, they realized that
maybe it was like maybe about 2010-ish, because I started watching Justice League Unlimited for the first time ever, and that was like mid-2000s. That's a good show.
Oh, I think even before the turn, you know, in the late 90s, like, I think the beginning of it, although it started, like, Ren and Stimpy were the beginning of, like, more adult cartoons or more,
because I would counter that I remember having things like Toonami in the afternoons, in the late 90s and stuff. And while it was anime, for a cartoon, in my brain it was a cartoon. And so, but it's this like really complex cartoon because it's anime.
Well, that's why I keep trying to say American, because anime is a whole other, you know, I mean, anime was a lot more complex way before American cartoons. But it just didn't make its way into our culture for a long time.
So, yeah, not until like the 90s with Toonami.
Right, and then it was, I mean, before that there were like fan people, you know, culty people who dug it out and bought videotapes and stuff and were really into it. But they were, you know, like hardcore fans.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure that influence, between that and Ren and Stimpy, although Ren and Stimpy did make a big burst in popularity of cartoons, but then a lot of crappy cartoons came out to copy and to cash in on and stuff. But eventually I think after a while, once they figured out kids were smart, you had to compete, you know?
Yeah. Which makes for really good shows.
Yeah. Stuff that kids and parents can watch, and the kids are really, they're understanding more of it than people would really think off the top of their head, you know?
Oh, yeah. I always think of, like, what Alex Hirsch, who's the creator of Gravity Falls, last year at Comic-Con, he was saying that, because one thing I loved about him is he was always pushing the censors, like, always pushing them, always pushing the borders of what he could actually do in his show. And he said a lot of people who make cartoons and kids shows think that, you know, you can just put anything stupid on a show and kids would just eat it. And he compared it to a homeless person. He was like, yeah, I mean, you can give a homeless person really crappy food, but that doesn't mean that they don't want something gourmet.
Right.
You know, kids are not, and he said, like, kids are not stupid, and too many shows dumb down and talk down to children. And he never wanted to do that in his show.
I think Pee-wee's Playhouse was a big step in that, too, actually.
Yeah. Give me one second. I have a very angry cat that wants to go outside. She keeps, like, meowing up at me.
Oh.
So, bye, everybody. Spokes is going away. Come on. All right. The only note, well, I have two notes for this section. One was, I don't care what you say, 3PO said that Jar Jar is a mix of foolish and Jedi flair, proving he's the Darth Lord Jar Jar. I don't care what you say, he's Darth Lord Jar Jar.
Obviously you don't care what I say, Hope.
I care a lot about what you say, but not about that subject.
Okay.
But I will say the only redeeming grace of this episode is Padme pretty much saves herself. She saves herself in the prison, she stops Gunray, and she proves that she's a badass boss that no one should mess with. That's... Like, to me, Padme was the redeeming spot of this episode, because, yeah, in the Malevolence arts, she was kind of the damsel in distress. She's never really the damsel in distress in that. Like, yeah, she gets captured, and Jar Jar has to ride a slug up to her, but, I mean, she puts up a hell of a fight before that.
Yeah, but to me, she's just sort of the MacGuffin that the episode... featuring Jar Jar is based on. She's there for Jar Jar to rescue.
Shut up. Don't ruin my dreams. Don't ruin my dreams, Chris. Stop it. You're mean.
I believe I'm ruining your dreams with this episode of Clone Wars.
No, I'm pretty sure that Rebel's going to wreck me by the end of the season.
Yeah. It's going to take a lot more than that to ruin your dreams.
Yeah. What did you think about the episode as a whole?
I liked it a lot. It amused me. If I don't want to say I only like it because it's a big middle finger to the fanboys, but that really enhances it to me. When I realized, oh my god, they just threw everything that everybody hates in here at once and said, okay, we're doing a story with all these things. I was just totally on board. I was like, I like these guys. I like the, and I thought they did a good job of going, okay, so we got all these elements that nobody likes. What can we do with them that's, you know, entertaining, you know, and not the, the most horrible anathema of a show. But I think I'm one of the few people that magic worked on. Maybe that's above the age of 5. I don't know. Maybe this show would have been really... I wonder what a 5 to 10-year-old would think of this show.
I wish I was still a nanny, because I probably would have sat my kids down and made them watch this episode.
Right. I mean, if you had really young kids, it would be one of the episodes, like, one of the few episodes that you would... If I was, like... had real, like, a 3 or 4 year old, and I was screening stuff ahead of time, this would be one of the Clone Wars where I'd be like, okay, this is okay, you know?
Yeah.
Not as many people getting, you know, there's no beheadings in this one.
Yeah. How about this? If you have a young kid and they have seen this episode, I know this is going to be several weeks from now by the time you hear this, but I would actually really love to hear, like, or as a season as a whole, if you there's any kid episodes that your kids just love, yeah. Let us know, and we'll read it on the show.
Yep.
So what would you rate this episode?
I would rate this episode an 8 out of 10.
Are you serious?
I've been waiting the whole show for that moment.
No! I could see you giving it, like,
as soon as I downloaded it.
Or a 7. Like, 6.5 or a 7, but an 8? That's 80%.
It gets an extra...
80%.
It gets an extra troll point for the middle finger. I'm sorry, Hope. And I was so happy when I went to my email to get the links to our notes. And I'm like, the first thing I did was like, ooh, I got to scroll down and see what you get. Ooh,
I rated it.
I think
you rated the last episode less.
I think I did. I think the last one, let me see. I got my notes right here. Yeah, the last one was a 7.
What the last episode was.
The last one was a 7. Yeah.
What was the last episode?
I think the last one got docked for something, if I recall.
It was the music.
Yes, I docked it for the music. So it would have been an 8.
What episode was it?
And this that one would have been an 8, and this one would have been a 7. So it would have technically beat it if that one didn't get docked and this one didn't get an extra point. But that's the way the point system goes, you know. I'm ruthless with my scoring.
Oh my god.
How about you? What did you get it as if I don't know exactly what you did give it?
I'm trying to remember what the last episode is. I'm Googling the Clone Wars Wikia at the moment. What was the last episode? It was the droids!
Yeah.
You rated this higher than Duel of the Droids?
Sorry.
Oh my god.
Didn't like that music.
Well, everyone's entitled to their own damn opinion.
Thank you, Hope. Thank
you. You're very welcome. No, I'm only messing. No, I'm glad that you like the episode. To me, it was, I will say, it was a chore for me to watch, and while it's a really strong Padme episode, she can't carry all of Jar Jar's hijinks for 24 minutes, so
that's
it was
not,
really
you wrote
rough.
Your notes. You didn't write hijinks in your notes.
Yeah, I wrote bullshit. Though I will say, after having this talk, because I originally rated it a 5 out of 10, because I was really doing 50% for the 50% that was Padme. Through our talks, I would be willing to bump this up to maybe about a 6 out of 10, because I can see a lot of your points, and it does, Jar Jar makes more sense. So I will change my 5 out of 10 to a 6 out of 10.
All right.
Congratulations,
Chris. I feel good. I feel good that I at least, if I didn't sell you on the episode, I at least got another point.
It makes sense when you said that Jar Jar is Roger Rabbit and everybody else is Bob. That just made sense to me. I get that. I see it. So
you
yeah.
just want to put Jar Jar in the dip. That's all.
Yeah, that would be fantastic. Yeah, Misa going for a dip. Yes!
Yeah, exactly. I like it. Misa like a swimming. Misa takes a dip every day.
That would be great. Oh, I would love that. Let's do it. Oh my god, I just realized that Jar Jar has the potential to show up in Rebels.
Yeah, it would be stretching it. It would really be stretching it.
Would, but I don't know. Filoni might give the fanboys the finger again.
To stretch reality for Jar Jar, especially with Disney right now, who they don't really seem to want to be evoking the original trilogy too much, even though they brought back a couple clone troopers.
I will say, like, because I'm going to say this earlier in the episode and I forgot. Ahmed Best did do an interview recently about Jar Jar and how, like, he was really proud to make the character. Like, because you were right when you said, like, that was all him. It really was. Like, he created this character. So it really was hard to, like, have such terrible fan backlash, and he's had a hard time of it since. So it's not his fault. He made a character that he really liked playing, and it just didn't translate well. So don't be mad at Ahmed. We love you. We love you, Mr. Best. If you ever want to come on our show, we'll be happy to have you. And I mean that with a lot of love.
Okay. I've always wondered about him. Like, I haven't noticed, like, him, like, having other roles, you know?
Oh, I know he went on the lam for a while.
On to what?
He kind of just, like, went off the radar.
Yeah.
I wish I could find that interview with him. I read it, like, maybe about a week and a half ago, so I was like, oh, hey, I should remember this when we do our Jar Jar episode next week, but I didn't say it like a dumb kid.
I didn't know if he was, like, one of those actors who was like, yeah, I'll do Jar Jar and maybe it'll lead to other things, or if he was somebody who was primarily a voice actor, or I know he had, like, physical training. You know, didn't he have some sort of history as an acrobat or in the circus or something? He had something, so he had, you know, or maybe dance of some sort, but he had some sort of training that made his physical, you know, that was one of the reasons they chose him, is because he knew how to, you know, physically move himself in a character style for the, you know, really, you know, old school motion capture at that time.
Yeah. Okay, so... just a quick thing. I'm looking at the Daily Mail right now, and he says Jar Jar Binks would never come back and play Jar Jar Binks even if they asked him to.
Oh, geez.
He admits that he took the worldwide backlash really personally. I think I done my damage. I'm good with where I stand with the Star Wars universe he revealed. I'd say no. I think I did what I did and thought it was great. It was fun. And now it's time to move on.
Run for the hills.
Yeah. He said that he was surprised initially by all the hatergate geared towards him. And he couldn't help but be stung. Even though you play characters, you put a lot of your own personality into it. You get emotionally and personally invested in the work that you do. So it's your work, and you take pride in it. So when your work is criticized negatively, you feel a hit. Jar Jar... he suggested that amidst all the visceral... Jar Jar is even denied credit for being a pioneer for more popular CGI characters who came in the roles after him. It didn't put me off of Star Wars, but yeah, it was painful. I mean, this character for me and the one of the big is one of the biggest reasons I took it because it was a challenge. There was no Andy Serkis in Gollum at the time. There was no Abby from Avatar. I was to be the template for this. So I was kind of working with George to pioneer this new character form of acting and storytelling. On the set, we were just so focused on the challenge of it all and having so much fun that post-hours stuff was a real surprise for me. I didn't think about it that way. That's so true.
Yeah.
Because this was pre-Lord of the Rings and
sure.
stuff.
Sure. Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, he's the direct, you know, I mean, Gollum really mm-hmm. is kind of like owes a lot to Jar Jar. Much as everybody would hate to hear it, so yeah. I'm here to tell you.
Mises, Gollum's stepdad.
Yep, exactly.
So, just so you know, if you ever want to leave us a review on iTunes, we will read it on the show, and rating us on iTunes and leaving us reviews helps people find the page. And, Chris, where can people find you?
You can find me at twotruefreaks.com, and when I say me, I mean me and about 40 other people that make podcasts on all topics from comics to movies to Star Wars to Star Trek and all over the place. To
the anime. We have an anime.
We have anime. We have giant monsters. We have people that just do general pop culture topics.
Garage sailing.
You wouldn't believe it. Wouldn't believe how wonderful this twotruefreaks.com is.
There's a show for everybody, I promise you.
Yes, every single person.
And we also have a Facebook page at Two True Freaks.
Yep, and the Facebook page is a lot of fun. It's been really active lately. You know, this is way in the future, but so I won't name any specifics. But yeah, there's been a lot of people just the friendly conversation there. We haven't had
I noticed Aaron, who we read the review from a couple of episodes ago, he started making
posts.
Yeah, so hi, yes. Aaron. Thank you.
Yeah, he started commenting on our J Guys and Jedi. I think he commented on the 2.5, episode 2.5,
yeah.
where we were talking about the Rebels mid-season.
And at the time that we're recording this, we're 6 people away from getting 600 members of our Facebook page.
Ooh.
I know. Maybe by the time this episode actually comes out, we'll have 600.
And I think they're mostly real people, too.
Oh. I don't know. I'm kind of a freak, so.
Yeah.
That's why we're two.
That's why you're there.
Yeah. Well, you can find me on our Twitter. I run it, and it's JGuysAndJedi. We also, a friend of our Gene, runs the Two True Freaks Twitter account, and he just releases posts about all the new episodes that come out. But my personal is Hope Molnax, and I write for What the Fangirl, where I do Clone Wars recaps, and I've written several posts about the Star Wars comics and Star Wars makeup and girly stuff. Girly stuff! I'm actually a girl.
Yeah, you keep saying that. You keep mentioning that.
I'm a girl. Oh my gosh, in the summary of the next episode, I went all girl in the introduction.
Oh, jeez.
Have you read it?
No, I haven't yet.
I'm so excited for you. All I will say is, who ruled the world? Girls. I love next episode. Let's end this so we can get to it.
All right, we'll see you next week, and you can hear this this enthusiasm carried on.
Yeah, next week's one of my favorites. Enjoy it, and may the sexy Rex of the non-Jar Jars be with you. Always!
If you shop at Amazon.com, please consider using the link at twotruefreaks.com to shop there. If you use this link to go to Amazon and then you shop, Two True Freaks gets a little cut of what you buy and it doesn't cost you anything extra. So you get to shop as usual and help out the Two True Freaks at the same time.
Visit our website at twotruefreaks.com. Two True Freaks is always spelled T-W-O. TrueFreaks.
You can email Two True Freaks directly at twotruefreaks@gmail.com.
Two True Freaks and all of its excellent affiliates are available on iTunes, and you can choose to subscribe to either the entire network if you wish, or pick whichever individual shows you want to follow. We have so many shows to choose from, there's just bound to be one that appeals to your particular fandom. Just search Two True Freaks with an exclamation mark at the end, space, and the number 2.
You can find Two True Freaks on Facebook. Just search for Two True Freaks. If you ever leave your house and you actually have friends, why don't you tell them about Two True Freaks?
If you've enjoyed our show, please, won't you take a moment to rate us on iTunes? That helps others find the show, too.
Thanks for listening.
And join us every Monday for new episodes of
Two True Freaks.
Drink the drink!
But I don't want the drink!
He doesn't want the drink!
He does!
I don't!
You do!
I don't!
You do!
I don't!
You do!
I don't!
You don't!
I do!
You don't!
I do!
You don't!
Listen, when I say I do, that means I do!